Well, good morning. Last week we began a brand new series on the cross of Christ. Last week we looked at Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 14. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're looking at a lesson titled, What the Cross Says About God. It says many things. We're going to look at two things today that the cross says about God. The cross, without a doubt, is the centerpiece of Christianity. No doubt about it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says there very clearly, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And then in chapter 15 of the same book, Paul says, "For I delivered to you of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." And so there Paul says the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection is every bit as important as His death on the cross. Because if He did not rise from the dead, then you have no hope either. Right? Your hope is in His resurrection. The resurrection says two important things. It says, number one, that God accepted the death of Christ on our behalf. Otherwise, He would have still been in the tomb. If the debt of sin hadn't been paid, Christ would not have risen from the dead. His resurrection is proof that God accepted the death of Jesus on our behalf. But it also guarantees our future resurrection. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, again, "But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And so the cross is central. The cross is the heart and soul of the Christian faith. Without the cross of Christ, there is no Christianity, right? And so it's His cross, and it's central. And so this morning, my lesson is titled, What the Cross Says About God. You cannot go to the cross of Christ and ignore God. Because it was God who willed that cross. It was God who caused that cross to be. In fact, Luke records these words in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, this is what he writes, beginning in verse 22. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered," notice, "by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it." And so the cross of Jesus is no accident. It's no incident. Jesus Christ was on that cross because of the predetermined plan of the sovereign, majestic, holy, righteous, and just God. And so I want us to take a little journey this morning to that historical place and time where Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. So if you would, turn in your Bible to John 19. We're going to look at just a few verses in John chapter 19. We're going to look specifically at verses 16 through 19. And so beginning in verse 16 of John 19, John records these words. "Then he is Pilate, delivered him," Jesus to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And so what does the cross, where Jesus was hung for 6 hours one Friday, say about God? Well, it says a couple of things. Number one, it says that God loves us. We can sing the song, why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose the lowly birth? Because he loved me so. And then a very familiar verse with all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, we have a saying that we hear a lot today, and it goes like this: actions speak louder than words. And that is true. You see, God doesn't just tell us in his word that I love you. Now, he tells us all over the place, and this is one place where God says, I love you. But he doesn't just say, I love you. He demonstrated that love. He demonstrated that love in the most powerful way that he possibly could. He allowed his heavenly Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to be nailed to a Roman cross and suffer death on our behalf. You see, the cross is not a philosophy or a moral. It is the staggering, incomprehensible love that God displayed when he sent his Son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. And then in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, I want you to turn to that passage. Romans chapter 5. It's the text that Frosty read just a few moments ago. But it's a great text. There's a lot in this text. It's one of the first texts I ever memorized as a new believer in Jesus. I love what Paul writes here. Beginning in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And again, this passage emphasizes, verse 10, the significance and the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because when he rose from the dead, he ascended to the Father's right hand, where he intercedes on our behalf. We're not saved just by the death of Christ. We're saved by the life of Christ. It's his intercessory ministry at the right hand of God, which also plays a role in our salvation. It is not simply the cross. And so Paul, in this particular text, says that God loves us. And he says that God's love is astounding, but he also says that God's love is matchless, meaning there's nothing like it. First of all, it's astounding, all right? And this is something we need to grasp. You see, no one forced God to love us. There was no one above him to command him to love us. The Bible says he willfully chose us to be the recipients of his great love. To think that God willed, that God caused the death of his heavenly son. I don't know about you, but it just blows my mind. You see, God had every right not to love us. You see, there wasn't any person walking this planet who was worthy or deserving of his love. Paul uses three adjectives in these verses, verse 6, verse 8, and verse 10. And the first adjective that Paul uses is, we were ungodly. All right, that's what God says about us. We were ungodly. But then in verse 8, Paul says, we were sinners. So he describes us in that way. And then in verse 10, he describes us as enemies. You see, God loved the unlovable. And that's what Paul is telling us in these verses. There wasn't any person on this earth that was lovable. We were unlovable. And yet God willfully chose to lavish his love on us through Jesus Christ. But that's what makes his love so matchless, because there's nothing like it. Verse 10 clearly says we were God's enemies. And that's why his love is matchless. Notice what he says in verse 7 and 8 of Romans chapter 5. We read it, but let's look at it again. In verse 7, he says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. You know, we all know of heroic situations where maybe a soldier dives on a grenade to save his fellow soldiers. That's a heroic action that happens. But who does he do that for? People he loves, right? People he's fighting a battle with. People that are important to him. Or you might hear about someone running into a burning home and rescuing a child. You know, those kinds of acts happen. But that's not what happened at the cross. Notice verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for sinners. He died for enemies. He didn't die for good people. Right? He died for wicked people. He died for people who were shaking their fist at God saying, I will live any way I choose and I don't care what you say about it. His love is amazing. You see, God poured out his love on us while we were living in rebellion to God. John the Apostle proclaims these words. They're beautiful words. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. You see, no one can doubt God's love, because the cross should erase all doubt, all skepticism. And we, as the body of Christ, can confidently sing, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave his life on Calvary because he loves me so. And so the cross says that God loves us. But the cross also says that God is just. And this is a very important attribute of God in the Bible that we need to know and wrap our minds around. Listen to what Moses writes in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. Moses says he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. And so God is a just God, but not only is he a just God, he is an immutably just God. Malachi chapter 6 or chapter 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord and I change not. You see, we don't serve a fickle God. God doesn't waver in his justice. He's not just one day and unjust the next day. God is immutably just. He is consistently just. And because God is just, man is guilty of transgressing his law. God must punish mankind for transgressing his righteous law. And the punishment for sin, God lays out very clearly in Scripture. It's death. It's physical death. It's spiritual and eternal death. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so Paul says your earnings for sin, for a life of sin, is death. That's what the consequence is. That's what your earnings are if you transgress God's law. That's what you will receive. But it's also spiritual death. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, this is the great white throne judgment scene. And in verses 14 and 15 there, John writes, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so the consequence of sin is eternal separation from God in the lake of fire for all eternity. That's what the Bible says. Now that might sound harsh, but that's because many are ignorant when it comes to the serious consequences of sin. We don't see sin the way God sees sin. We don't comprehend sin the way God comprehends sin. We need to know that God is just, but God is also holy. And because God is holy and just, he cannot tolerate sin. Some simply don't believe that God will condemn sinners in hell forever. They just don't believe that. They say God is a good God, he's a loving God, and therefore he would not do that. Well, look what the Bible says. If your name is not found written in the book of life, you will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's what the Bible teaches. And so listen, God doesn't have a choice when it comes to punishing sin. His just nature demands that he punishes sin. You see, God has declared very clearly, the soul that sins, it shall die. That's what God says in his word, the soul who sins shall die. But in addition to that, listen to what Nahum writes. The Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. So don't ever think that on judgment day, when all the nations are gathered together there, and God is judging, that somehow God's just gonna, you know, be real emotional. And his heart's going to go out to people and God's going to just say, oh, I just can't condemn you. I just can't send you to hell forever. Just come on into my heaven. That's not going to happen because Nahum says God will not acquit the wicked. God will not acquit the wicked because God cannot acquit the wicked. You see, God has to be God. He cannot excuse or condone sin. God can't turn his head and look the other way as if he didn't see it. And so this presents a very difficult dilemma. You see, we have a holy, just, immutable God. And then on the other hand, we have a fallen world. We have a world who sinned. We have a world who transgressed God's laws. And we've already seen that there is a punishment for that. So here's the question. How can a holy, just, immutable God save unholy, unjust man and still be a righteous God? That presents a very difficult dilemma. You know, some ask the question today, how can a good and loving God punish sinners in hell forever? But that's the wrong question. The right question is how can he not punish sinners in hell forever? That's the right question. That's the real question. Not how can he? How can he? He's just. He has no choice. And if he's God and he's going to remain a just God, he must punish sin. If he doesn't punish sin, then he's not a just God. And so, he must punish sin or just simply cease to be God. But it's at the cross that God solves this awful dilemma that we were in. Look in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and here Paul explains how God solved this awful dilemma. Notice beginning at verse 23, Paul says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. We've all transgressed God's law. We're all ungodly. We're all enemies of God. That's what verse 23 clearly says. But notice what 24 says. Being justified. In other words, we're made to look as though we had never sinned. Being justified. And notice the next word, freely. 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 By His grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God set forth as a propitiation. That word means sacrifice of atonement. By His blood. Through faith to demonstrate, notice, His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate, notice, at the present time, His righteousness. That He might be, notice, just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. You see, when God punished Jesus Christ on the cross, Paul is telling us in Romans that God's justice was satisfied. God has just demands. The soul that sins, it shall die. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 11 says that when He shall see the travail of His soul. He will be satisfied. In other words, when Christ hung on the cross, suffered and died for your sins, God said, "My righteous decrees are satisfied." And so all of God's righteous demands against sin were met when Jesus died on the cross. At the cross, we see all of God's wrath, all of His anger, all of His fury being unleashed upon Jesus. Jesus on the cross suffered the punishment for our sin. Paul is telling us that He died in our place. The punishment for sin, which is death, Christ took upon Himself. And so when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this God remains just and justifying those who put their faith in Christ. So when you put your faith in Christ, obey the gospel, God says, justify. In my sight, you are justified. And God is just to do this because He doesn't ignore sin. He doesn't condone sin. He punished sin, but He did so in His Son, Jesus Christ. However, if we reject Christ's death, the payment of sin will then be paid by you. That's what the Bible teaches. You see, all sin is going to be punished. And it's either going to be punished at the cross, or it's going to be punished in hell, but it's going to be punished in one place or the other. So we get to choose where the punishment of our sin is paid. You get to choose whether the punishment of your sin was paid by Christ at the cross, or you will pay the penalty of sin in hell with your eternal soul. Because God is just, the penalty must be paid. The amazing thing is that God paid that penalty for us, so that we wouldn't have to pay that penalty. God is so good and gracious. And so this morning we took a little journey to that historical place and time where Christ died for the sins of the world. And we observed two things that the cross says emphatically about God. Number one, God loves you. And number two, God is just. This brings us to a very significant question, important question this morning. Have you responded to the message of the cross? This is important because Jesus says that He is the only way to God. Jesus says in John 14 verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. Peter says something very similar in Acts 4:12 when he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then in John 8 and verse 24, Jesus made a very important statement there. He says, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, then you will pay the penalty of your sins in hell forever, separated from God. But God clearly doesn't want that to happen. And so He sent His Son to come into the world, go to the cross, pay the penalty on your behalf. All God asks is that you respond to the cross. And so if you've never ever responded to the cross for your salvation, if you've never obeyed the gospel, then this morning we want to encourage you to do that. Because this is the only way that you can stand in the presence of God when you die. Here's an important thing. You know, you can ignore God your whole life. You can just block Him out. You can refuse to read the Bible. You can refuse to listen to Bible teaching. You can just say, I'm just not going to listen. You can ignore it. But you can't ignore Him in death. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this is the judgment. In fact, let me just read one other passage real quick. This is in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Listen to what Paul says here in Acts chapter 17. Paul writes these words. He says, Because God, has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. And He has given assurance to this to all by raising Him from the dead. Ray, how do you know there's going to be a judgment day? How do you know I'm going to stand before God in judgment? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Because He is alive. And because He's alive, you will stand before Him. And so if you're not right with Him, you need to get right with Him. God is a just God, but He is also a very loving God. And God has demonstrated it, and He shows you that He loves you, and He wants you to be in relationship with Him. And so you have to decide whether you want to be in relationship with Him. If you do, come. If you have any other need in your life, you may come as well as we sing.